This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen, Mawlana Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man sabiyahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Respected brothers, elders, sisters, esteemed scholars, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I will apologize from the outset. The topic is very broad and I need to fit it in within about 20 minutes. So I will just be touching a few important things which I regard as important. And I want to really go back to the dawn of Nabuwah, to understand what relationship that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had with his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. The dawn of Nabuwah was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave and revelation descended upon him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very perturbed. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time had a very large clan. His uncles were alive, Abu Talib was alive and others were alive. His good friends like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and others were alive. But the interesting thing is that he went to none or nobody else. He didn't go to his uncles. He didn't go to his friends. But where did he go? He went straight to Khadija radiallahu anha, his wife. So in a time of turbulence, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his beloved wife. So what did his wife say? What did she say? She didn't say to him, look, I told you not to hang around in caves. This is what happens if you hang around in caves away from the family. But what did she say? She hadn't actually prepared a talk on the life of her beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was impromptu. She gave him encouragement, such encouragement that history records that encouragement until today. She said, wallahi, she said, kalla wallahi, she said, by Allah, la yukhzikallahu abada. She said, Allah will never waste you. Allah will always remain in your assistance. Kalla wallahi, la yukhzika Allahu abada, innaka la tasilu rahim, wa tahmilu al-kalla, wa taksibu al-ma'dum. She said, in a nutshell, she said, Allah will never forsake you. Why? Because you have qualities that nobody else has. The real interesting thing here is that in his most difficult time, she was there. And this is what a husband and wife should be like. You know, sometimes you come home and you've got a headache or you've had a hard day at work and you say to your wife, I've had a really hard day at work. Or the wife comes home and she says, I've had a really hard day at work. And you turn around and you say, you know, I had a harder day than you did. That means you ain't listening. That means you are not there for your partner. You could say that 3 hours later, but in the time of difficulty, a husband is meant to be for the wife, and the wife is meant to be for the husband. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He defines a wife, He said, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. A man finds solace by his wife. When he's had a difficult time, you go to your husband, you go to your wife, they're there for you. That's what you call love. What we define is love today is what? You say, oh, it was love at first sight. I saw her and I fell in love with her. That ain't love. That may be infatuation. It may be something else. It isn't love. The day that you make the firm conviction after 10, 15, 20 years of your marriage that you are going to stay with this person for the rest of your life, that is love. That one that you saw her and you liked the way she looked, you fancied her, and after 2 years, 3 years, you thought, nah, we're separating. That was never love. And if you look into the Arabic language, this is exactly how love is defined. You call it mahabba. The word mahabba comes from the word habba. Habba means a seed. You sow the seed and then you work on it. You work on that seed. And after a very, very long time, that seed, it gives its fruits, it gives its vegetation. But you have to water it, you have to plow it. This is muhabbah. And we have this concept of, you know, a marriage, you watch these 3-hour, 4-hour movies, and they lived happily ever after. And you think, yeah, that's what I want the rest of my life to be, a honeymoon. There's one ingredient missing in that, and that is hard work. And the Prophet ﷺ said, in a so beautiful hadith, he said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. He said, the best of you, listen to this brothers carefully, the best of you are those who are the best to their family, and I am the best to my family. And another narration related by Imam Tirmidhi, the Prophet ﷺ said, to a mafhum, he said, if the entirety of humanity regards you as good, but your family don't regard you as good, in the eyes of Allah, you are no good. Sorry, if the entirety of humanity regards you as good, and your family regards you as no good, in the eyes of Allah, you are no good. And if the entirety of humanity regards you as bad, but your family regards you as good, in the eyes of Allah, you are good. Do you know why? Because these are the people who have the most contact with you. You meet brothers and you meet sisters in the masjid, and you think, you say, bro, akhi, ya Allah, if I had a sister, wallahi, I would give this brother my sister. If I had, you know, a brother, what's so beautiful hijab? Everybody look good in the masjid. In the masjid, everybody looks good. Salaamu alaikum, brother, ya akhi, mashallah. But how are you with your family? That's what really counts. In the eyes of Allah and His Rasul, that's the teaching. How are you with your family? If you cannot be good with your family, it's no good being good with other people. These are your people of your first contact. These are the closest. That's where you took your vow. That's the person that you said that you're going to remain. You took an ahad with Allah. You took an ahad with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you would be good to that person. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you is he or she who is the best to their family. And the Messenger of Allah said, I am the best to my family. I am the best to my family. And you know, the worst thing with all this, I'll tell you, is when a husband and wife don't get on, the greatest casualty are the children. They are the greatest casualty. And you hear husband and wife, often you speak to them, they come and they see you and they say, you know, I would do anything for my children. I work day and night for my children. I say, simple, why don't you get on with your spouse? Why don't you make an effort there? Successful, happy home. Brothers, when you go home with a smile. Leave your masiba outside. Don't have all smiles only for outside and no smiles at home. When you enter your home, smile. Khadija radiallahu anha says, never did the Messenger of Allah enter the home but he had a smile upon his face. Wallahi, I find this amazing. I tell you why I find it amazing. Because this was the Makkan period in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was never a morning which did not bring a new trial. Never an evening which did not bring a new tribulation. Day, night. Can you imagine the Prophet ﷺ would go out in Makkah and he would walk through the streets of Makkah and he would see Bilal radiallahu anhu being dragged through the streets of Makkah until his skin teared from his back. Can you imagine the Prophet ﷺ would go out and he would see Ammar, Yasir, Sumayya, the mother, the father, the child being persecuted. And he would walk up to Ammar, because this is all he could do at the time. And he would rub his hand over the head of Ammar. And he would say, Sabran ya ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al Jannah. He would say, oh family of Yasir, have sabr, because I swear by Allah, your abode by Allah is Jannah. And then after seeing all this, the Prophet ﷺ walks home. And Khadija radiallahu anha says, never did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam enter the house but he had a smile on his face. You and I are good for the dunya. We're good for the dunya, but the people that we should be good for, we got no time for them. In the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and everybody knows who Umar was. When he was Amir al-Mu'mineen, one of his governors came into his home and he saw Umar radiallahu anhu kissing a child. And he said, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, do you kiss children?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Don't you kiss children?" He said, "No, not me. When me, I walk into the house, it's locked down. Nobody moves. Even the fish stop swimming." That's my own addition, yeah. That's my own addition. There was no goldfish in Mecca. Umar radiallahu anhu had this man demotivated from his post. And he said, "That person who is harsh upon his family has no status in this ummah. That has no status in this ummah." I want to ask you a question. Now, this is a serious question. When you go home as fathers, as mothers, when you open the doors, do your children come running to you or do they run away from you? I remember I said exactly the same statement in Joburg, and there was a Mawlana sitting there, and he came to me and he said, "Sheikh, wallahi, that reminds me of my childhood." He said, "We would be sitting with our mother, we would hear our father's car park up, and because our father was so harsh, we would run." La ilaha illallah. Look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was sitting with a man. He was a Bedouin. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was kissing one of his grandchildren. And this Bedouin said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, you kiss children?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Yes, I kiss children." He said, "I have 10. They don't make them like they used to. I have 10. And I have never kissed any of my children. I have 10 children and I have never kissed any of my children." And listen to the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, "Awa amliku lak. Awa amliku lak wa qad naza' Allahu rahmatan min qalbik." He said, "Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything in this deen for you when Allah has removed rahmah from your heart?" Look at the words. When Allah, he wasn't beating the children. He wasn't even scolding the children. And I'm not saying that you should never tell your children off. Sometimes they need to be disciplined. But you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Awa amliku lak wa qad naza' Allahu rahmatan min qalbik." He said, "Is there anything in this religion for you when Allah has removed rahmah from your heart?" Brothers, sisters, really assess ourselves. How are we with our families? Wallahi, you don't have to be good to me. As long as you're not bad to me, Allah will not ask you. But wallahi, Allah will ask you regarding your spouses. They will ask you. You know, there was a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, a group of people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and listen to this very, very carefully. They came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, there's a woman, tusumu wa tusalli, she prays and she fasts. Tusumu wa tusalli, she prays and she fasts, but she has one problem. Tu'dhi jaraha. But she inconveniences her neighbor." And I went to check this narration to see if the neighbor was a Muslim and or non-Muslim. I couldn't find any mention of the religion of the neighbor. So the Prophet, they said, she prays and she fasts, but she inconveniences her neighbor. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Hiya finnar." She will be in the fire of Jahannam. The ulama write something really interesting underneath this narration. They say, if this person prayed and fasted, but inconvenienced the neighbor and ended up in the fire of Jahannam, then what about that person who is harmful and hurtful to their spouse? What about that person who is harmful and hurtful to their spouse? So brothers, this is a deen of rahmah. This is a deen of hope. And if you can't pray rahmah with the people within your homes, then it's game over. You know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah will have mercy upon those who have mercy upon those on the earth. On the day of judgment, when you will need Allah's mercy, Allah will have mercy upon you on one condition. One condition. that you had mercy upon other human beings. The ulama say this narration is al-jaza min jins al-amal. Allah will deal with you the way you dealt with the creation of Allah. If you are a person who could never show mercy to other people, you are too big, then Allah, the day that you will need Allah's mercy, Allah will not show you mercy like you did not show other human beings mercy. If that is the case, then what about that person who could not show mercy to his own children, mercy to his siblings, mercy to his wife, mercy to the husband? What about that person? And this is why, brothers and sisters, you know, this is very, very important that we get our homes right. Because one of the reasons that we have so many defunct children is that there is no solace, no peace, no tranquility at home. Why do we have so many children? And look, you may think, oh, this guy is coming and he's patronizing us, you know, he's from the UK, etc. Alhamdulillah, I lived in South Africa for 3 years, many left in 94, so I know the South African setup. And therefore, we need to be people who show mercy. We need to be people who give hope to other individuals, not just to our families. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought a deen which gave hope to people. Who were the vast majority? Who were the vast majority of people who embraced Islam? Early people. There were people who were nobodies in society. Why did they? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them hope. He showed them mercy. They had seen something that they had never ever seen before. And this is why, if we can't show, listen, if you and I can't show mercy within our homes, then forget about speaking about the ummah, because we will never have tranquility. And this is why we have so many children who find more peace and tranquility on the streets than they find at home. Because why? Mum and dad are always at loggerheads. Mum and dad are always squabbling, fighting. They rather hang out with the boys. They rather start taking. They find more affiliation in gangs than they find at home. They find more peace with the gangsters than they find at home. And I'm not justifying gangsters, but I'm saying if you want an ummah, then start at home. Then you will create. If you create the home, you will create a community. If you create a community, you will create a nation. If you create a nation, you will create an ummah. But if you can't create anything at home, then dream on. And I don't want to make people feel bad, because sometimes it's out of your hands. You know, some marriages are so messed up, your spouse. But generally, if you're a good person, if you give, you will be reciprocated. The problem with too many Muslims is that we, like civil rights activists, you know, we enter the marriage and we say, here's my rights. You see my baby, you see my rights? These are my rights. This is the male's rights. She's got her list. These are my rights. You see my rights? You end up like civil rights activists. These are my rights. No, give rights and you will receive rights. Be people of giving, not people of taking. And marriage is the place where you give and then you get in return. Not that you always want. You know all your rights. Sheikh, I'm the husband. Here's my rights. She doesn't fulfill my rights. She's got her list. Oh, Sheikh, my husband never fulfilled my rights. Ya Rab, give rights. Look after each other. Show rahmah. And my time is up, so I'm going to finish on one narration here. And remember this narration. You've all heard this narration, but it's an amazing narration of rahmah. But I want to give a different slight understanding to the narration. You heard the narration related by Imam Muslim and Imam Bukhari and others of the lady from Bani Israel. She was a lady who was of a loose character. The narration mentioned that she liked to touch and she liked to be touched. So one day she sees a dog. It has its tongue out of thirst. And she feels sorry for this dog. And she descends into the well. In some narrations that she took off her sock. In some narrations she took off her shoe. So she takes off her shoe and she fills it with water. And then she holds the shoe full of water between her teeth. And then she climbs up. So she climbs up. And then she gives this dog water. Dog. They call it, if you want to offend somebody in English, you call him a dog. If you want to offend him in Urdu, it's even worse, you call him a kutta. If you want to offend him in Arabic, it's even worse, you call him kelb. According to the three madhabs, it's najas. According to the Malikis, they say that lu'ab is permitted to a degree. To a degree. It's an impure animal. She gave it water. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave this woman who was a prostitute. And if Allah forgives you, you're going to Jannah. On the other hand, we have a narration that there was a woman who starved a cat. And the cat died, a cat. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that she will be thrown into the fire of Jahannam. Why is Allah and His Rasul giving you and I examples of cats and dogs? Think about it. You think Allah and the Rasul have nothing better to do than give examples of cats and dogs? The reason that Allah and the Rasul are giving example of cats and dogs, because Allah is saying, if you have mercy upon a dog, which is an impure species, you have mercy upon it, Allah will forgive you. What about if you have mercy upon another human being? What about if you have mercy upon your wife, your husband, and your children? If you are cruel to a cat, then Allah and the Rasul are saying that Allah will throw you into the fire of Jahannam. What about if you're cruel? You got maids at home? What about if you're cruel to your maids? What about if you're cruel to other human beings? What about if you're cruel to your wife, your husband, your children? And this is why, brothers, be people of mercy. If you want Allah's rahmah on the day of judgment, then have rahmah upon other people. And have rahmah, wallahi, upon those who nobody else has rahmah. And I say this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sifa was that he was taksibul ma'doom. He helped those who were ma'doom. You know what the word ma'doom means? When Khadija defined him, she said taksibul ma'doom. You help ma'doom. The word ma'doom comes from the word al-adam. Adam means nobody in society. Work in those townships. Don't have stereotypes of other people. Yesterday I was in Menenberg, which they call Mu'minberg now. Yeah, I was in Menenberg with Mullah Abdul Rahman. And wallahi, I saw the work that Mullah Abdul Rahman was doing. Mullah Abdul Rahman could get jobs in other places, but he works in that place. Works from evening, and I was shocked. The day before that, I was in Khayelitsha seeing the Tahfiz al-Quran. Me and you, have stereotypes regarding these people. We will justify to us that we should not help them because of this and this and this. But the Messenger of Allah, wallahi, was not like that. He helped those who nobody was ready to help. And that's where the reward is. You can be good to Shaykh Zahir, it's easy. But be good to those who are ma'doom. That is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The man came into the masjid and he urinated. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, stop, leave him. Let him urinate, let him finish. He finished, and then the Prophet ﷺ said, this is a place where you do not urinate. And the man said, may Allah have mercy upon me and Muhammad ﷺ and nobody else. Because the others were ready to attack him. And he said, look at the character. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not buy into stereotypes like you and I had. So I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to be people of rahmah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us unity. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us united in dunya and reunite us in jannah for those. And I want to thank the Masjid Committee for giving me this opportunity. And you know what? There's a 7 of us here from the UK. I've seen Cape Town many times. Personally, and I've traveled the world by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think you have the most beautiful city, natural city in the world. And mashallah, the brothers and the sisters that we have met in Cape Town, mashallah, the warmth and the welcome, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you an increment in it. But appreciate what Allah has given you. A couple of years ago, I gave a talk in Paulsmoor. So I was there, I gave a talk in Paulsmoor. I said, I want to give a talk in Paulsmoor. Paulsmoor is very famous in the UK. And I said to the inmates, I said, you know, I feel sorry for you guys. I said, you live in the most beautiful city in the world, and you're banged up here. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our hearts united in the dunya, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunite us in Jannah for those. And Jazakallah to Imam Sahib, Sheikh, Barakallah Fikum, Salaam Alaikum wa rahmatullah.